As Peter is talking to these people, saying, look, you guys, God has chosen you to die. And some of you and your children will be thrown into the lion's den, and people are going to be yelling and screaming, and they're going to be glad when you're getting killed. He says, but don't worry about it. Rejoice. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. Wow.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our study of 1 Peter, and it's good to have you along. As we look at the hostility and temptations we encounter as Christians, Roel will encourage us to stand firm and uncompromising in our faith. Everyone makes mistakes, but deliberate sin not only presumes on God's grace, it damages our witness to a watching world. Today's message will help us see that we can glorify God with faith-filled righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, here's Roel Reese.
It's pretty incredible going back and reviewing the chapter and looking at history, how the church was being persecuted by the Roman Empire. And then you look at today and what's happening around the world today, how not only people are starting to turn against the church, but against certain pastors and leaders of the church that are really proclaiming the gospel of truth, speaking against the sin of homosexuality, speaking against premarital sex, speaking about adultery, speaking about so many different issues that separates people from their faith in Jesus Christ. And there are churches that they're teaching the doctrine of eternal security, that not only, no matter what you do, you'll still be saved. If you live a life of sin, you will go to hell. That's the bottom line. And it's really important that we understand that this word of God is very powerful. And that when people begin to logically think like that, then you get these excuses from people that are living in sin, and they're making excuses because they're wanting to excuse their sin from other people. But when you preach holiness, when you preach salvation, not of works, but by faith in Jesus Christ, there are so many opportunities that I've had in my personal life. When I was young, I got saved when I was 24 years old. And traveling all over the world, in hotel rooms, women, I mean, money, power, all these things. But when I got saved, I came out of the world and I did not want to continue in the world. I had a genuine experience with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. We don't really believe in sinless perfection. No way. None of us have any sinless perfection here. We all sin. We all fall short. We all trip and fall. But it's when a person willingly, in their minds and hearts, know the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but they make excuses for their sin, then you're in trouble. Not with me, but with God. And as I was thinking about Peter, as Peter now is among all these people that are being prosecuted, persecuted, they're being killed, and many of them are wimping out and they're moving away and denying Christ, then Peter in verse 14, check this out, he comes now and he deals when you're reproached for the name of Christ, what do you really need to do? Deny the Lord or rejoice in the Lord? Look what he says. If you are reproached or insulted for the name of Jesus Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. On their part, the enemy, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Well, I love that. Glorified when you stand in the presence of the Lord. Go ahead and kill me. I don't really care. You really have to believe in order to give your life. And I believe, as I read the scriptures, that if ever, ever we have to die for Christ, God will prepare your heart to die. When you read history, those that were torched, those that were burned at the stake, when they were tied up and they were lit on fire, some of them saw them praising, singing, worshiping the Lord. Why? Because God prepares you to die that way. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be fearful. You're fearful when you're not sure. And we need to be sure. Because we're living in a time where government is changing. Our nation is changing. The world is changing. And as I read the Bible and I study scripture, I know that we're living in the last days. We don't know when Christ will come. We know that the coming of the Lord is soon. And there are things in prophecy that already are being fulfilled in our own generation. That's what's incredible when you read the scriptures. And when I was reading Peter, I said, Peter was speaking to my own heart as I began to read verse 14. If you are reproached or you're being insulted, maybe you're a young person and you became a Christian and your parents hated because you're a Christian. Or maybe your friends now are insulting you. Hey, be happy. Why should they do it to you? They did it to Christ. You're in good company. You're in good company. I think it's really important to prepare yourself because we are going to live in a time where people are going to come against us, against you, against me. And they'll start making up things about you and speaking lies. And at the same time, Chuck taught me one thing for 40 years. Never defend yourself. If you defend yourself, then the Lord will not defend you. If you're blameless and not guilty, don't ever defend yourself. But you got to stand strong in the Lord Jesus Christ to really believe that. And I think it's really important that if you really, truly want to be used by God, as he's talking here, as Peter's talking to these people, say, look, you guys, God has chosen you to die. To be beaten, to be cut in half, to be tied by horses and been pulled. And some of you and your children will be thrown into the lion's den. And people are going to be yelling and screaming. And they're going to be glad when you're getting killed. He says, but don't worry about it. Rejoice. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. Wow. The spirit of God resting upon each one of us. That word to rest is the word that he uses here, refreshing, taking one and refreshing yourself with the Lord. It's cool how the Lord speaks to our hearts. You don't have to get tense. You don't have to really get afraid. It's going to be instant. When death comes, it's done. And next thing you'll be standing in the presence of glory with Jesus Christ. I love it. The body of Christ together. In the last days, really, truly believing what God says in his word. If you are reproached or insulted for the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I am a representative of Christ. You are a representative of Christ. Blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God is resting upon you. On their part, he is being blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. I love that. He is glorified because you made a stand. The Lord is saying, all right, man, awesome. The angels rejoice when you stand for righteousness' sake. That word that he uses here for the spirit of glory, he speaks of God's presence or his Shekinah glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, like the one that was in the tabernacle. Imagine God's Shekinah glory over our lives as believers because we stand true to the word of God and what God's word says here. We're not murmuring. We're not complaining. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. And this is what I try to do when I go to hospitals and visit people. Man, some people I've seen, they're in deep, deep pain. Deep pain. You have to rest in the Lord You have to turn everything over to him so that he can do whatever he wants to do. And if he's taking you through pain or suffering or disease or sickness, whatever it is, listen, he's going to use your life. Nobody becomes a better person for the kingdom of God until you suffer. Until you go through the fire. He'll do whatever he has to do to mold you and shape you and humble you to make you into his image. And so I see this great, great verse 14. Check this out, verse 15. He comes and he says, now observation number four. He says, how not to be a meddler. He says this, Peter's talking now to the people again that have been not only saved and coming to Christ, but also he's given the background to it. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Now, he turns from suffering in kind of a little rebuke to those in the church, not outside the church. To those people that he's talking to here that are coming and they're selling these issues with families and friends. And so Peter here is sharing with them. He says, let none of you suffer, number one, four things, a murderer. The reason he says that is because the background to the Christians in their old life, many of them were murderers, thieves, backbiters. I mean, they had all these testimonies. And at the same time, when he's talking to them, he wants them to understand, first of all, that they're not to be what? Murderers. That means they're not to be in any place hurting people anymore, but to be gentle, to be kind, to be loving as Christians. Because imagine what it must have been like for have Rome prosecute you, persecute you, and if you had been a murderer before, you could murder anybody else again. And Peter is saying, don't do it. That was your old life. You're now having a new life. God's already forgiving you for what you did.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that we're here to help you grow in faith as you journey in step with God. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. Raul is also happy to respond to your Bible questions and prayer requests. His email address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
And I think of how many people even here and all over the country, your own personal old life that you had before you came to Christ. That there are so many in the church and outside of the church that even though they've been forgiven so much, some of them that are carnal continue to live in those lifestyles instead of pulling away from the lifestyle. They boast and they glory in that lifestyle. We should never do that. Never glory in that. Never, ever glory in the things that we did in the past. They're not beautiful. They're ugly. They're not good for us. And I think it's really important that as Peter is writing, Peter is an older man now. He's trying to talk to these young people and those that are going to become martyrs in the kingdom of God. And he's actually sharing with them. He says, if you were a murderer before, then don't murder anymore. If you were a thief, one who steals or is frauding people in secret, or, notice, and again, a murder thief or an evildoer, that is one that is really evil with people. You don't care. You'll say whatever you want to them. You're mean. Real mean. You don't care if you hurt them or they cry or whatever. That doesn't really matter. These are the things that we as Christians should never, ever do again. Because remember, Peter's talking about the suffering and persecution that was coming upon themselves. And at the same time, he says, if you do these things, what happens? You break the law of God. The law of God is broken. You actually violate the laws of the land and you harm others. Then you deserve what? To suffer. And how would they suffer? By being punished by the government. They would be arrested, and they would be tried, and then they would be penalized. You have to be wise in the things that you do. So here, Peter is giving insight to the Christian, saying, if you used to be like this, don't be like that anymore. And then this is what he says. This is pretty amazing. The fourth one. He says, and as busybodies, or literally, this is someone that is intruding in other people's matters, putting your nose where it doesn't belong. It says, be careful that you don't get into other people's matters or business or problems, because then you're going to be in trouble. Don't be literally nosy. Keep your nose out of it. Let people take care of their problems themselves. If they ask you, cool. Tell them what you feel, but that's it. And yet, think of how many people get themselves in trouble by getting into other people's businesses. That's why Peter here is so tough about this, because there are so many people that come and they want to hear the story, they hear the story, and then they want to evaluate, and then they want to give you the wisdom and the knowledge they think they have to your circumstance and your problem, and it might be the wrong wisdom and the wrong knowledge. It's better to go to the Lord. It's better to keep clear of anybody that is trying to come against you in that way. And many people do suffer for Christ, being falsely accused, mistreated by husband or wives, their children, or other people. Maybe you have an employer that really is mean and is always doing things to the employees. But as a Christian, you can go to the Lord and you can pray and you can be honest. And maybe God is showing you that through this, He might be moving you out to give you another job somewhere else where you're treated right. But because of fear, losing your job and your income, you put up with it. Or you should go to that person and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm a human being and I want to let you know, don't do that to me. Treat me right, as I treat you right. And it's hard sometimes for people to do that because they're afraid. And there was a lot of believers with Peter. They were afraid, they were fearful, because they were afraid of all the suffering they were going through, thinking if I tell someone or I do this or that, they're going to throw me in jail, then I'm going to be thrown into the lion's den, and I'm done. It's the end of all that. And yet, Peter says, listen, suffering comes by the help of Christ. If you really put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will be with you in the fire, and through the fire you will go through. Why? Because we will never suffer or be persecuted unless it's God's perfect will for my life. Especially if I'm living for Jesus Christ. And not becoming a lawbreaker. Not breaking the law, but obeying the law. We should always, as Christians, do what is right. Never cheat on your income tax. Don't take things from work. Make sure you time in, time out, break time, make sure they're break times. Why? You want to be honest. If you want God's real blessing on your life, then you got to do what's right. And if you don't, then don't expect God to bless you. He'll chasten you. He'll turn the tables around on you. I tell people all the time that. And it's really important, because a lot of times we take advantage of the situations because you say, well, everybody else is doing it. I haven't got caught yet. But you're a Christian. You're light. You're salt. We live under the basis of God's word. We obey God's word. We don't obey men in that way. We don't do what other people do. We do what God says. We do what's right. And we want to be honest in everything that we do and say like that. So we go and do what's honestly, and what happens? Fiery trials come right into our lives. And yet think of how many profess to be Christians and they break the law of God and the law of the land, and they get themselves in trouble and they become meddlers in other people's lives. And then God has to stop them. As Christians, we should not do that. As Christians, we have no guarantee that we're going to escape any trial or any thing that has to do with the fire. Whatever God intends to do in my life, I have to prepare my life before Him and turn my life completely over to Him. Lord, here is my will to be Your will, whatever You want to do in my life. God desires that. Check this out, what he says in verse 16. He says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, well, have you ever suffered as a Christian? Sure. He says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be what? Ashamed. Think of how many of those Christians in Rome were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they called themselves Christians. They didn't want to be thrown into the lion's den. And yet Peter here is making a command. Peter gave here two commands to the Christians. Those that are suffering and experiencing torture, torment, and I mean going through the fire. He says, yet if anyone Christian suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him what? Glorify God in this matter. Isn't that neat? Glorify God. Praise the Lord. Give glory and honor to his name. It's a privilege. Listen, it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. A privilege. It's not something that is not good. It's good. We don't have to be ashamed. The name Christian was given early to the believers. You know by who? By the unbelievers. The Lord didn't give that name to them. The unbelievers gave the name Christian. It was a name of derision, ridicule, and mockery. Each believer called themselves brothers, believers, disciples, and saints. But apparently, they did not call themselves Christian until later on. Until later on in the book of Acts. When they were being prosecuted, tortured, and they were being beat up and arrested, they came to that place where they called them Christians in Antioch. That was the first time. In Antioch, they became Christians. In 1 Peter 4, 1:16, he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples, here it is, were first called Christians. Where? In Antioch. Acts 26:28. And then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Three times in the New Testament, the word Christian. Imagine when Paul was witnessing here to this man by the name of Agrippa. He was sitting there. Paul was being arrested. He was going to be taken to Rome. And Paul gave him the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, you know what, Paul? You're an awesome speaker. You almost persuade me to become a Christian, but he never became a Christian. And there are people like that all over the place. Why? It's not us that convert anybody. It's the Holy Spirit.
In a world with growing hostility to the gospel and countless temptations to disobey God, it's good to be reminded that we can always draw from the Holy Spirit's wisdom and strength to stand firm in our faith. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is being made available to you in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. To get your copy, just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Now, to help equip you to better honor the Lord, we'd like to tell you about this entire series from 1 Peter. It's a 42-part study that's available on either CD or flash drive, with each lesson illuminating how to navigate life's complexities in full surrender to God. You'll discover that when you're led by the Holy Spirit and call on the power of Jesus' name, you can experience victory in every circumstance. To order Rawls' 42-message study of 1 Peter, visit somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the CD set for $63 or the USB drive for just $42. That's 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This is a listener-supported ministry. Thank you for your partnership in sharing God's mighty, unchanging word. Every contribution is tax-deductible. Join us again next time to explore more guiding insight from 1 Peter. Contemplating Christ's promised return, you'll find motivation to live for the Lord without any compromises or sinful regrets. Now, with the closing thought, here's Raul once again.
As Christians, you guys, we need to stand for righteousness' sake, and we need to stand for the freedom that God has given to us. All those military guys that have died in every one of those wars, they shed their blood for this country. And we can't go to sleep. Yes, these are tough days, days of persecution, prosecution, and there's going to be times that we're going to see disaster, even in our major cities, just like 9/11. That was the beginning, not the end, the beginning of what could happen to America if we don't wake up, and we need to pray. We need to pray like never before for God to speak to our hearts as Christians. Because I love this country. I love this nation. But at the same time, I love God more than anything else. And I pray for you, and you pray for me.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.